Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be here tonight? I'm glad you came tonight. I wish more to came because we may not be here Sunday. We'll have to see. I sure hope we are. Y'all heard the weather report? Calling on some snow. So I hope we are here. So you better get everything you can tonight in case you don't get here Sunday. So it probably 70 degrees and sunny. Yeah, that's how it normally works. Calling on blizzard at 70 degrees. Do what? By lunchtime Saturday? Oh, really? Oh, good. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, good. Hopefully, we'll be here. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to get some teaching tonight. We're going to talk about Daniel a little bit. And I want to get a little bit of the history of Daniel and kind of where he came from and why he was where he was at. And this is called, we're going to be in chapter 1 only tonight. This is called From Ashes to Ascension. And this really describes Daniel's life completely. This is not just chapter 1. This describes his life and what God did with him from taking from ashes to ascension. And what I mean by ashes was Daniel was taken into exile. We'll read this here in just a couple of verses. But he was taken to exile when Jerusalem was seized and taken to Babylon. Babylon is currently where Iraq is at right now. So Jerusalem was seized. Daniel was taken as a captive. Most scholars say between the ages of 16, 20 years old when he was taken. So he grew his whole life up in Babylon. We'll talk about what God did with Daniel. And just as a note too, you may not know this, but Daniel was actually King David's son from his third wife, Abigail. If you read that, he was actually King David's son. And so, very interesting to learn that as you study that, because I never heard that taught before. And I was doing research on this. You can find that in 1 Chronicles 3:13, I believe. I'm telling you right on that. We're talking about the sons he had, and it translates into being Daniel as one of his sons by his third wife. So, but anyway, let's get into Scripture. Daniel 1, beginning with verse 1. And we're going to stop and have some breaking points and some things on the screen for you to write down as we go along. Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem, and he besieged it. He came and took over. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judea, unto his hand, and part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought these vessels into the treasure house of his God. So it's been seized. He took the king. He took possessions. Go to the next slide, Brandon. The reason they were seized was these two reasons. Continued idolatry and failure to observe the sabbatical year of the rest for the land. Now let me explain what that was talking about. We know what idolatry is, of course. Worshiping false gods, worshiping other images. But this other issue he's talking about, it was customary that for the first 6 years, you planted and you reaped. You sowed and you reaped. The seventh year, you didn't sow. The seventh year was a year of rest. And all people, whatever grew that seventh year, was available to all people to take. And they were observing this seventh year of rest. And that was important to God at this time. It was part of the Mosaic Law. It was part of what they're supposed to be doing. And they didn't observe this. So God allowed them to be seized and allow them to be captive. God's got a great way of getting our attention. And we talked about this the last couple of weeks, how that there are things, and I know we don't like to hear this in the very positive, motivational, prosperity, victory kind of preaching. But I do believe that definitely God is not the cause of our problems, but that God allows things because he has the power over all things. And there are things that are allowed by God in our lives for whatever purpose, whether it's to bring us here, to bring us there, to draw us to him, to fulfill another purpose we don't see. But there are things that God allows. So he allowed Jerusalem to be taken captive because, like in every generation, they were rebelling. They weren't listening. They were doing their own thing, worshiping other gods, not keeping the law, not keeping the covenant, and doing it their way. And we find out when we do it our way, we always fail. It doesn't work our way. I often say the Bible is here. It's not for a bunch of rules and regulations that we can't follow or to keep us bound. It's to keep us free. Because the book knows what it's talking about. And God knows what he's doing. And if we would follow these rules these laws, you want to call them that, if we would follow God's word, we would save ourselves a lot of hardship. But we don't, because we're in the flesh and we do it our way, and we let pride, rebellion, arrogance, whatever it is, get in the way. So that's why they were sieged. Verse 3. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, the king's seed. Now, Daniel was, by this verse, part of noble seed. He was part of royalty or a noble seed. He was of good seed. So the king wanted him for personal use. We'll read in a minute why. Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such that had an ability to them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongues of the Chaldeans. Now go to the next slide, Brandon. Daniel was going to be used as a statesman for the king. He was a government official. And he was going to be trained and used to speak on behalf of the king. So he wanted someone that was smart, someone that was learned, someone that he could train, someone that could speak and reach out to the people of his nation. So this king had a plan for Daniel, but God had a greater plan for Daniel. And we're going to read this as we go along. So this was no accident Daniel was here. And sometimes, as we were talking about last week, that God takes us through places to get us to places. And we don't always like the journey, but that's the only process God really has, is to take us through places to get us to places. My wife hates road travel, unless it's in a plane. She hates driving. I mean, she hates it. She whined the whole time built going to Florida. She whined, I hate that trick. Can we not? I'll just fly and meet y'all down there. Just pick me up at the airport. I'm flying. You can actually drive. I'm not going. I mean, she hates car riding. But you know what? There's no magical way, even with flying, you got to travel. No magical way to get there. You can't just blink your eyes and be popped there. You've got to have a process. And though the journey's boring, though the journey's long, and though the interstate goes on and on and on forevermore, it seems like, once you get there, guess what? You're in front of that castle, and Mickey is waving at you, and you are happy as a lark. And all of a sudden, you don't remember the journey no more. You don't remember that nine-hour ride down there. You just know you are in front of Mickey. He's telling you hello, and you are glad to be there. He takes us through places to get us to places. So Daniel wasn't there by accident. He was a government official. He was going to be a statesman for the king. Verse 5, the king appointed to them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. At the end, therefore, they might stand before the king. This was the training process. He's going to feed them their food, give them their drink, train them for 3 years, and position Daniel to be what he wanted him to be. And, you know, sometimes, church, we have to remember God's in a lot more things than we realize. It wasn't fun that city was sieged. It wasn't probably right in David's eyes. He should be in Babylon. But God had a greater purpose, and God could take the mess that Daniel was in, just like he did Joseph, and use it for a blessing. We know the story of Joseph was thrown in a pit by his brothers, then was sold into slavery, then was in prison and all that, and became prince of Egypt. God had a plan in all that. God was taking Joseph through places to get him to place he wanted. Verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. Now this is interesting, very interesting. In verse 7, he changes, the prince of Babylon changes their name, because he was wanting to make them more Babylonian. He was Babylonian them, Babylonizing them, Babylonian them, whatever. Remember Muhammad Ali? Does anybody remember what his real name was? Cassius Clay. But then he turned Muslim, changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He was Muslim-like. He was Islam-like. He was Middle Eastern-like, whatever. So he went from Cassius Clay to a Muhammad Ali. So now this prince, see, if he thought by changing their name, he could get all that Jew stuff out of him, all that God of Israel, covenant God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stuff out of him. If I could change their name, and I've got a deeper, and I hope you are picking up on this. There's a deep meaning behind what I'm saying. The devil does all he can to try to change what's on the inside of us. But we can't be changed if the real seed of truth is inside of us, no matter what he puts up, because what's in us in the truth is what we really are. And we can mask ourselves and pretend that we're not that, or that we've evolved, or we've. But when it comes down to it, we are that person God birthed us to be, whether we want to be or even like it or not. It's just how it is. So he's trying to change their names and make them part of the Babylonian culture, part of the Iraqi regime. So he gave them new names. He called Daniel Belshazzar, and Hananiah Shadrach, and Mishael Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. Now this is very interesting. Go to the next slide. Daniel translates into God is my judge. Look what his new name translates into. How fitting, right? May Baal protect his life. That's what it translates into. Belshazzar, may Baal protect his life. Well, we know, if we know anything about the story of Daniel, probably all of us in here know a little bit about Daniel. We grew up hearing about Daniel. We know that his life was definitely protected. But it wasn't by the Baal from hell. It was from the God from above. So even when his name was changed, it was prophetic to me that his name still, even in the Babylonian, represented he would be protected. And we know from the lion's den what happened there. He didn't get eat, so God protected him. So I thought that was interesting. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He made a decision. Sometimes we've got to position ourselves just to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to go that route. He within himself said, I'm not going to do it the way the king wants me to do it, because it goes against who I am and what I really believe in. There's sometimes you just, the old saying, you can't teach a new dog, an old dog new tricks. Daniel knew who he was. He knew who he believed in. He knew his covenant. He knew his promise. And just because he had been relocated to a foreign country and to a country of idolatry that did not believe in the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, did not mean he had to change and go along with it. That's what I say many times. Church, we have decisions to make. We have decisions every day to make. We can choose to flow with the culture, like salmon going up a stream together, or we can choose to be separate and say, you know what? I'll be a lone wolf on this and say, no, I know what I believe, and it's worth standing up for. And that's hard. That's extremely hard. I've said this before. It's a very minute thing. But, you know, I remember going when I was my Walmart days, we'd go twice a year across the country to these big national conventions. And we'd all go out to eat after the long day of the meetings and all the seminars. We'd go out to the restaurant, all the managers, and we'd eat. And there'd be, you know, tons of us all together. Of course, everybody drank. Everybody ordered alcohol around me. Everybody drank. You think little old James drank? No. And it wasn't because I was that holy. It just wasn't what I did. And so I got my sweet tea or my glass of water, and I didn't think a thing about it. In the midst of that culture where it had been easy to just, you know what, nobody would see me. Well, Joe ain't nowhere around. He ain't going to know I took a little sip of Mickey. He ain't going to know nothing. He's back in Mooresville. He ain't going to know. I've always wanted to try one of them umbrella things. Who knows? I might like it. That's the problem. I might like it. I might like it a little too much. And then I wouldn't be fit for nothing. Because that's how it starts. That's how it begins. And so during all those years I did that and going back and forth and everybody around me drinking, everybody doing this. And one night I got invited to go to a strip club with a bunch of managers. They were in a limousine. So I said, hey, man, we going? You want to go? I had the Scooby-Doo gulp. No, I'm going to go back to the room and be by myself, because that's probably the best thing. And I did. And it was boring. But I was safe. And I didn't have to come home and face Melanie, so I was good. One trip we went on, that happened, that same night I'm telling you about, they went. One of the co-managers that went missed his flight coming back. Now, Bill, you know how bad that is. You're on a corporate trip at a manager and you miss your flight to come back home. I think he got in a little bit of trouble. So I don't think the pole was worth the price he paid. So we have to make decisions. And I only know about poles. I've heard about it. Okay. Y'all are sitting, Mark's sitting there thinking, how does he know about it? It's all because I heard about it. Good girl, Mark. Big old hypocrite. Anyway. We all had a decision to make. Well, Daniel, think how, what a decision this was. That he was going to purpose in his heart not to do this regimen the king said. So, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Isn't that beautiful? He didn't want to defile. He didn't want to go against what he knew was right. Go to the next slide. I got one there? Yes. Here's the reason Daniel didn't want to defile himself. You might think, well, what's the big deal? He's going to eat the king's meat and not going to drink his wine. Why? He knew the meat wasn't slain according to Mosaic law. Remember, they were under the law, under covenant. He knew the meat wasn't prepared in the way that a Jewish person is supposed to consume it. So to him, that would be defiling it. It would be like a... Well, it is what it is. Y'all know the Jewish people, the Jewish faith. Not so much anymore. I talked to some Jews that actually do eat pork now. But back in this day, it was strictly forbidden, and it was considered unholy to do that. And also the wine, he knew, was offered to a pagan god. So he didn't want to participate in any of their stuff because the wine and the meat was not according to what he was trained in, what he knew was right. Daniel was following a personal conviction. How much better would our lives be if we followed personal convictions? We wasn't pressured by other people. We followed a personal conviction. And church, I say this all the time, and I mean this. I mean, some preachers would kick me out of church for saying this, but I mean this. I mean this sincerely. It's going to sound horrible, but I feel this way. I've said many times, people come to me all the time, you know, Pastor, I drink a few beers every now and then for dinner. Is that a big deal? And here's what I always say, are you convicted by that? Well, no, not really. Here's what I tell them, oh, drink up. Because see, until we're convicted, it doesn't really matter. Until God begins, of course, by them asking me tells me a lot that they're already, you know, why they're asking me, right? And conviction, if we follow personal conviction. And there's nothing, I'm telling you, there's some pastor friends of mine, other pastors. And I'm not talking about Lutheran pastors or Catholic priests. I'm talking about there's regular pastors, Baptist pastors that I know of that drink. And that's not what I can do. And it's not because, oh man, if I drink a Budweiser, I am going to H-E double hockey sticks now. Be my luck, I would fall over a heart attack. But anyway, that's not why. It's just that's not what I'm supposed to do. And so I've got to listen to that. Personal conviction. Daniel had a personal conviction to say, I'm not going to do this because I can't eat meat that wasn't prepared the way that God said I should eat it. And I can't drink wine to service a God I don't believe in just because he says do it. So Daniel's making a pretty strong stand here. And we know what God does when we honor him. We know what he does. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God had already begun to work a relationship between the prince and Daniel. Sounds familiar, right? Remember Joseph, when he got thrown in prison, what happened? He found favor with the prison guard. He began to do tasks in the prison and became almost an overseer, even as a convict, because of that favor. Because Daniel honored God and his word, favor was now being established with Daniel. All this was part of God's plan. All of it was. Verse 10. And the prince, the eunuch, said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head of the king. Let me explain what verse 10 is talking about. It's not worded real clear. The prince is saying, Daniel, here's your diet, meat, wine, the good food, foods of a king. if you don't eat the diet that the king provides, you're going to look weaker, more pitiful, poor health than the ones eating the good diet. And if that happens, I'm going to get in trouble. My head's on the line here because I'm not taking care of you. Kind of like when you're getting a bull ready for a county fair, you fatten it up, right? Once again, that's what I hear on TV. I never do. Gail's like, you know. Well, I watched a Bonanza the other day, and that's what they were doing. They were entering this bull into the fair, and, you know, they were fattening them up. And old Hoff says, I ain't going to walk them to town. I'm going to put them in a trailer. I'm going to lose none of that fat. Well, you know, you want to fatten, you want it full and fat, and you brush its hair, and you know, you want it to look presentable and good. And this prince is saying, the food we're giving you, see, believe it or not, back in the old days, fat was good. Fat people were a sign of prosperous, rich people. Hallelujah. Let that come back. Walk down the sidewalk. They're a millionaire. Look at them. Look at that gut. They must be a billionaire. It's a sign of wealth and prosperity because you've got plenty. And so the prince is saying this. If you don't eat this, you're not going to look as good as the rest of them, and I'm going to be in trouble because I'm not doing my job. Verse 11, then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee. He's saying, okay, here's the test. Give me 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. You might think, up here I got the New King James, so it translates that. The Red King James says pulse. Pulse was simply vegetables. Daniel's saying, for 10 days, let us eat nothing but vegetables and water. Sound familiar? Way before Dr. Oz came along, Daniel was trying to tell us a good way to eat, right? Vegetables and water for 10 days. Just let us eat that alone. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you. And then let the countenances of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. Look at both of us. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. In other words, I'm going to eat this for 10 days God's way. You feed the rest of them your way. After 10 days, look at both sets of people. And then however the chips fall, they fall. If we look poor and unhealthy, then we'll get in trouble. But just give me 10 days to prove it. Wonder what happened. Let's see what happens. Verse 14. So he consented to them. He said, okay, I'll allow this to happen. And he proved them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Isn't that something? Once again, proving, right? Eating healthy has benefits. They look better. But see, it was more even than the physical aspect of it, which of course it is. We know eating vegetables and water is a lot better than eating pork chops and mashed taters. I mean, we know that. But also God was in it. God was honoring the stand that Daniel took. And it told them, the God you're serving must be doing something right, because you shouldn't look better than the ones I've been, you know, I've got King George over here with the big drumstick and the big, all the bowls of food and, you know, the lady dropping cherry in his mouth and all that stuff. And you're over here just eating water and greens. Water and seeds, water and beans, whatever they had back then. That's all for 10 days, that's all you're eating. How can you possibly look better? Because God honored his word to Daniel. Because Daniel honored God. So let's see what happens in verse 16. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pulse. He gave them their diet. Verse 17. Let's keep going on the slide, don't we? Yes, there it is, pulse. Vegetables and water. No meats, no alcohol. That was what he told me to do. Verse 17. As for these four children, talking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God gifted these four people with special supernatural gifts and abilities. They honored God. When we honor God, God shows up and God gives us things we need. I want to tell on Uncle Gail back there. I call him Uncle Gail. We were sharing one day, and I don't think your mommy's sharing this. We were talking, and Gail's very handy with his hands. He can do anything. He can build stuff. I told you when we moved in our house, I got the U-Haul stuck. Or my dad got it stuck, actually. Got stuck in the driveway. We're backing down the hill, and I got such a dip in my driveway that the hitch of the U-Haul went to the asphalt of the driveway. I mean, have you ever seen someone get a U-Haul hitch stuck in the road? I mean, this was one of them, you must be a hillbilly redneck. If that had been a YouTube video, that would have been viral. I've got a U-Haul hitch stuck in the asphalt of the road. It's dug under the pavement. It's buried. You can't see the ball. It's under the asphalt. So I'm sitting there, the truck's blocking my neighborhood road. I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's like a 16, 18-foot truck. I'm like, what? I go, more dad mash that gas. Roar, deeper away. Stop. So we're sitting there. I'm like, what are we going to do? It's stuck. The thought that came to me, I told Dad, I said, let's go see Gail. Gail works up here at this flea market, the road, about 5 minutes from my, or 3 minutes from my house that time. My dad looked at me and said, what can he do? I said, he can do a lot. Trust me. See, God gave me you, brother. Gave me a vision of you getting us out of that trouble. So I go pick up this 80-something-year-old man. Say, come on. I got a U-Haul, an ox stuck in the ditch. He grabs a big old jack from the flea market, comes up there. Dad's in the truck. I'm back here with Gail, and he tries to jack up the back. Says, let it roll. Dad let it back up. Stop. Jack it up. Let it roll. Stop. Went on and on. And he got that thing out. I looked at Dad. I said, I told you Gail would do something. But here's my point. I ain't about that. Gail shared with me before, talking about gifts and abilities. Because he is so good with his hands and does stuff, he says, sometimes I'll get stumped in a project. I don't know what to do. I'll look at something and I can't quite figure it out. So, can I tell this? You know what I'm going to say. So he said, I'll go back for a minute. I'll just have a little talk with God, or I'll just pray, or I'll just be quiet. I'll just meditate. And he says, every time I do that, God will just give me what I need to get the job done. He'll drop it into my spirit, the knowledge I need to do what I can't do. And I'll go back out there, and sure enough, it works. Now, brother, God ain't gave me that gift quite. He kind of does, because when I can't figure out what to do, I call you or I call Melanie, and they'll fix it for me. So I do have my avenues, just not me that does it. But I thought that was good. That's church, that really is a gift from God, that God moves upon him to give him the knowledge. He shared it before many times with me about that he'll just pray for a minute, and then God will drop into his heart what he needs to do. Well, Daniel and these three Hebrew children, they had supernatural wisdom and interpretation and dreams, different gifts that God had given them. Their faithfulness was paying off, and God was going to use them. Verse 18, at the end of the days that the king said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. Among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom, now look at verse 20. This is, in all matters of wisdom, understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were all in his realm. Isn't it amazing? I say this all the time. We got a lot of very smart, intelligent people that don't have a clue. Because we're smart in the natural, don't mean we have any sense in the spiritual. Because we have knowledge of mathematics or science or whatever, and we're mechanically, we're so smart, but we fail to see the simple truth that's in God's word, in God's revelation, in the spiritual realm. We're missing out on the very most important things of life if we can't understand God. And these men had more skill and ability than 10 times more than all the astrologers and magicians. Because, you know, it happened to Joseph too. Remember Joseph? They caught him out of prison because he interpreted dreams. The baker and the cupbearer, he interpreted their dreams. And when the king couldn't get his magicians to interpret it, he told them they couldn't figure it out. And one of them said, hey, I know a guy down in prison. He interpreted my dream. It came true. Go get him. Here comes Joseph, a convict, a slave, pretty much at that time, brought him out of the cell, and he did what all the magicians couldn't do because God was in him. Because God was in him. Don't sell yourself short. If you have the Lord, you have it all, everything you need. If you have God, you have every ability, every gift that you need to walk in. Just let him lead you in those things. We don't have to be all naturally educated for God to use us. I'm proof of that. That's for sure. Thank you, Gail, for agreeing with that. I am absolutely not that. I used to be so mad at Bill in school. He was a brain. Bill was so smart. I mean, he just so smart. He took all the hard classes. I took easy classes. He took trigonometry. I took general math 101. You know? Thank you. And he took all the smart stuff, and I just try and get out of high school. That's all I cared about, just graduating. But Bill's smart in the Lord too now. I'm not saying because you know, I'm smarter than him because he's smart in books, and Bill's smart both ways. But there are folks that truly, I would rather have the wisdom of God than the wisdom of men. And that's what we all should desire. That's what Daniel desired. He wanted the wisdom of God, not men. The last verse in this chapter, Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel's reign, Daniel's captivity, Daniel's stay, he was there to the end of the exile. He stayed all the way to the end of the exile until it was over. Next slide. The God of Daniel honored his life with supernatural abilities and gifts. These gifts would point people to his God. Later, they would point people to his God. Be a Daniel. Be a person that stands in a culture and society that says, we must do it this way, but we say, no, I'm doing it God's way. I'm not going to do it this way. This way goes against my personal conviction. It goes against what I believe in. It goes against who I am. No matter how much the pressure mounts, no matter who says what or how much you lose, sometimes we lose things because of it. We lose. When I was younger in high school, I mean, there were people I didn't hang around because of that. I was very selective. I had two friends in high school, really. My friend Bill and Sam Marston. I had two people I hung out with outside school. That was it. Two guys I hung out with. Neither one of them drank. Neither one of them smoked. Neither one of them broke the law. Neither one of them was wild whatsoever. I hung around them two people. That was it. Because I made a decision. I know if I go here, I'm probably going to do things and I shouldn't do or get in trouble. So I'm going to make a decision not to do that. Be a Daniel. Go to the next slide. The principle learned tonight from this story, from this message, God sometimes repositions us to position us. Daniel's capture in Jerusalem and his captivity in Babylon was for a purpose and for a reason. And God had to relocate him to fulfill the purpose he had for Daniel. We don't like repositioning sometimes. We don't like that at all. There are times that churches die because they don't want any change. It's always been this way. By George, my grandma and great-grandma went here, and nobody ain't ever clapped their hands in 42 years. Ain't nobody clapped their hands up in this church. You got somebody clapping their hands. Oh, my gosh. O-M-G-S-M-H. For those of you who don't know, that means me shake my head. That's text talk. I mean, I'm saying, really? Because it's always been that way? Sometimes God repositions, realigns, redoes things to have a greater outcome that would never happen if we stayed where we were at. We're going to be reading more about Daniel in the next few Wednesday nights. We're going to be reading some more about Daniel, what he did, and how it applies to our life today. But from this chapter 1, we can take this. Lesson for today, that maybe God has changed your direction and you don't like it. You've heard me talk about Ashley. Ashley is having a hard time with change. She is struggling. She misses her old house, misses her old school. She misses the playground. She hates that building's there. I mean, she don't like change of any kind. And I've been trying to tell her, baby, there's opportunity in change. There's opportunity you wouldn't have if it wasn't possible, if that change didn't happen. So don't be afraid of change. We need change sometimes. Sometimes change is the best thing for us. He gets us out of what we're in and where God wants us. Sometimes if we don't let God change us, we stay bound by the same things we've always been bound by, and nothing does change. So we stay bound by fear. We stay bound by depression. We stay bound by discouragement. Let God pull you out of that. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but that's okay. Remember what I always say? God holds tomorrow. That's all that matters. God holds tomorrow. So if God holds tomorrow, I'm okay. Because he's in my tomorrow. I don't have to see it. I know God's in it. So I trust him. God, you're in my tomorrow. There's a great thing. Me and Melanie, I'm one that loves riding around. This would drive my dad crazy because he's a very conservative person when it comes to like burning gas and all that. I'll get out sometimes. Me and Melanie, we'll just ride. I already know where I'm going. We'll head up to Wilkes County. I said, let's take the side road up here. Let's see where. We got on a dirt road one time in Wilkes County going up this mountain, and GPS stopped working. And I'll go see where it ended. I said, let's just go to, tank was full. I said, let's just go. I want to see where it comes out. We kept riding this dirt road. Wasn't a house in sight. We were riding. Ashley's freaking out in the back. This is creeping me out, Dad. It's creeping me out. The woods got darker and darker, and the road got more narrow and narrow. So I did finally turn around and come back. But I was so excited to see where it come out. I don't have to know where it comes out. I just know if there's a road here, it's got to end somewhere. It's got to end somewhere. I might have been in Virginia. I don't know, but it's going to end somewhere. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, over a cliff. Oh, there's where it is. I like adventure. It's okay to be different. If I had hair, it'd be different all the time. You women are so lucky. I tell Melanie that. See, Melanie, I fuss if I grow a little goatee or if my hair gets a little long. You need to trim your hair. Hey, look. I got the same look all the time. You can color your hair, cut your hair, ponytail it up, pull it halfway back, braid it, buzz it, let it go long. You can do whatever. You got makeup for your lips, makeup for your eyes, makeup for your face. You got earrings and necklaces and jewelry. I ain't got none of that. So if I want to grow a goatee, leave me alone. I want to look different. Huh? Could have what? Oh, yeah, I could. Look like the 80s coming out here. Twisted Sister. Remember Twisted Sister, Courtney? We're not going to. You're too young. He's talking about Twisted Sister? Yeah, you're too young. You remember him. That's sad. Yeah. But anyway, so change can be good. I'm telling you, it can be good. Don't be afraid of change. Embrace it. Daniel. Life was being changed by the hand of God. And that appointment where they came, seized him out of Jerusalem as a young kid and took him to Babylon was all for a greater purpose. As we continue to read this, we're going to read about all the things that happened because of that capture. That capture was ordained by God. Sometimes we think our captivity is always the devil. Sometimes our captivity may be God allowing us to be held captive so he can do something with us. So don't be discouraged every time something don't go right. Maybe God's trying to. Don't be discouraged every time something goes wrong. Maybe God's trying to do something right. Good news, guy. My Jeep's in the gym. I need to be in the gym. My Jeep's in the garage again. And got it fixed. But, you know, church don't get a Jeep. I'll never have a Jeep in my life ever again. They're fun to look at, but they're horrible to keep up. I've replaced everything on it. It's horrible. But anyway, praise report, though. What's good about my Jeep, the thing that helped me, I went to see Charles and Ashbro Saturday, and I went all that way and got all the way back about the Cool Springs exit, and my check gauge light come on, and my voltage began to drop like a rock. I mean, just drop. And I'm on the interstate going, Lord, please just let me get to the church and get it parked. And he did. I got here. I gave God praise for that. Bye, darling. Tell Tim, hey, see you Sunday, I hope. And so I got it here, and then I cranked it up, take it to my mechanic, and same thing, it bottomed out. I said, Lord, please just let me get it to the mechanic, and I did. So in all of that, God kept me safe. I wasn't stranded on the interstate. I wasn't stranded somewhere where I had to get towed. Even though I don't like the repair, he kept me safe and got me there. So we can take, you know, we can take the silver lining and look at it anyway if we really look hard enough. So be a Daniel. Be one that stands out and says, I'm going to stand for God, do what's right, and do it God's way. And we see how Daniel blessed God, and we're going to really see how he blessed God later on as we continue talking about some of the things with Daniel and his life. So, all right. Everybody good? Taylor Sane, it's so good to see you. Do y'all remember little Taylor? Not little Taylor anymore. She's a full-grown woman, but Taylor back there, so good to see you. Awesome. This is Stacy Sane's daughter, Bill. He knows your dad. I went to school with him, too. So, yep. Good to see Lynn with us again, too. Three servers in a row. A couple more, you'll have a full-blown habit. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Sometimes, I said that recently, sometimes you just don't tell everybody stuff. You just keep it to yourself. Like Mary, I'll ponder what the angel told me. I'll just ponder it. That's smart. All right. Well, Marty, come on up here and do a closeout song for us. We'll receive our offering tonight. We will have church Sunday as long as the roads are clear. I don't want anybody risking getting here if the roads are still bad. I don't cancel church very often at all. The roads have to be where I think they're unsafe for us not to have church. As long as the main roads are clear and completely safe, and of course we got the parking lot too to think about. Got to make sure it's also safe. But hopefully we'll be able to have church Sunday. I hope so. So if not, be safe and be back next Wednesday. Let's pray over our offering. Father, we thank you for this message tonight, a message that happened so long ago, Lord. This story we read about 500, 600 years before you even came to the earth. But yet this Daniel is still speaking to us today, and this story still speaks to us today, how we can stand in the gap of a corrupted ideology, pagan culture, and say, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll stand for you. I won't compromise. Let us take that same fortitude in this culture, in this generation, and remain faithful to what we believe. Let our personal convictions reign in our lives. Bless this offering that's given to you. We'll give you thanks and praise for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name.